What's cracking? It's hour number two. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live in rainy Southern California. Great to be with you. Program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We talk some more college football next hour. Mike Norvell is the head coach at Memphis, but as promised, we are joined right now by the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. Second season with the Bucks. He is a two-time NBA Coach of the Year, won four NBA titles with the Spurs organization. Milwaukee's out quickly. They're 18-3. They're tied for the best record in the NBA. They're at Detroit tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by Mike Budenholzer. Mike, it is so good to have you back on. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jim?
Good, good, Mike. So 18-3, 12 straight. That's the longest winning streak for the Bucks in more than 35 years. I should probably rephrase that question. How is life right now, and what's it like coming to work every single day knowing the potential this team has?
Yeah, no doubt life is good. Incredibly fortunate to, you know, have this team, be working with great players. Giannis is beyond words to, you know, trying to describe what he brings every day to practice, to the gym, to the organization. So, yeah, as a coach, it doesn't get much better than this group.
You know, speaking of Giannis, I could get into the culture in just one moment and what you've created there. But last week, Giannis, Mike, had a game against the Jazz where he went for 50 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, no turnovers. Given how tough Utah is defensively, how amazing was that performance even for Giannis?
Yeah, no, it stands out. He's done a lot of amazing things, you know, since I've been here for a little over a year. But to go for 50 and not turn it over against a team coached by Quinn Snyder and Utah Jazz, it's very, very impressive. So, you know, he continues to do special things, and hopefully we keep putting him in good positions and he keeps doing it.
Mike Budenholzer is my guest. Not only that, Mike, but when you look at Giannis, it's the intangibles also that he brings to it. Giannis said, quote, "We've got to do our job. It starts with the coaching staff. It starts with the leader. We're not coming out here and thinking about the 12 games we've won. We're thinking about how can I do my job? How can I win tonight? And that's the most important thing. We've got Detroit next. How can we win in Detroit? How can we go in there and play good basketball and win?" End of quote. I mean, it seems like it would be really easy for guys maybe to get caught up, maybe to start to read the headlines, believe their own hype. So how do you and the players make sure everybody stays locked in?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're big believers in our process. We kind of have our routines, and we really believe in trying to get better every day. We put a lot of time and effort into player development, and you know, if the guys are getting better individually, then we're getting better collectively, and there's just a genuine focus and effort and belief in that, and we don't kind of vary from it much. We do our work each day. We come in and we understand what winning basketball is. We try and do it every night and not be too high or too low with what happens in the game, but just keep working and keep grinding every day.
You know, Mike, when you got there, you talked about culture, process. Maybe those words are interchangeable. It seems like every single coach, Mike, that I talk to in any sport talks culture, and I'm always fascinated by it. So how would you describe your culture, and when you wanted to get there and develop winning habits, what kind of habits were you looking to preach?
Yeah, I mean, on the end part, the habits, we really felt like this team could be great defensively and, you know, build habits with like, I think, a real individual responsibility, individual accountability. Could they lock in and really guard and take responsibility for being great? And then could they work well collectively defensively? So we've, you know, kind of gotten away from, you know, I would say we're more fundamental, more individual accountability, making them work, get after it, and, you know, cover for each other at the same time. So, and culture-wise, you know, I think we want to be a place where we really care about our players. They feel it. They see it every day from, you know, the second they stop into the facility, whatever it is we're doing, they see we care about it. We think about it. And, you know, I think that pays off for us when they go out on the court. You know, they're ready to go. They play hard. They play for each other. They play unselfishly. So, and we're always working to make them better. It's good for them, you know, at this stage of their career, as they move forward in their career, they're improving. Good things are going to happen for them, and good things are going to happen for us.
Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer joining us, which brings me to the next point, actually. You know, a lot of people in the organization talk about when it comes to you, obviously you're a great tactician, but you understand people. You understand how to push the right buttons. I know you're not going to make it about you, but how much of the job now is about tactics and teaching, and how much of it is about the personal relationships with the players, with the coaching staff, pretty much everybody involved in the organization?
Yeah, great question. I mean, it takes both. I think the great coaches that, you know, I look up to, that we all, you know, talk about and admire from a distance, they do both. But the relationships and to be able to connect with your players and hopefully get them to push themselves, I do think it becomes more about the personal relationships and connecting with them and understanding them. And, you know, each of them's different and unique. And so, if you can do that, then I think that's a huge step towards, you know, having some success and being somebody that, you know, is a good coach. The X's and O's, my guess is all of us can do them. I don't want to say they're not complicated, it's not difficult, but, you know, it's X's and O's. It's the personal, the touch, the culture, all those things that it's harder. It's more complicated, and you got to believe in it. You got to figure out what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and stick to it.
So I'm curious, Mike, so like, where does that come from? If most of you guys or all of you guys can X and O at that level, and we're talking about these people skills, where do they come from? Like, are you wired with it? Are you born with it? Or do they come maybe from your early days of growing up and playing ball for Holbrook High School in Arizona on a team with players from so many different backgrounds? Did that help you?
Yeah, I think it's all of it, you know, from, you know, where you grow up and your family, your parents, brothers, sisters, the high school. I mean, I was lucky playing with half my team were Navajos from the reservation, and a lot of diversity, a lot of different backgrounds, and playing Division III ball, and all the years with the Spurs, working with Coach Pop. And it's just so many things that go into, I think, teaching you, you know, how to coach and connect with players. And I guess I'm probably born with it a little bit, or coaches are born with it a little bit, and you just got to run with it.
Mike Budenholzer joining me for a few more moments. You know, for those who do not know about basketball in the Navajo community, how intense are the games, and what do you remember about those days, and in particular, the spring tournaments?
Yeah, you've done some research. Yeah, no, I mean, there's nothing like basketball in the Navajo reservation, and really the Apache reservation also. You know, I could tell you stories about high school games where, you know, our home gym was literally packed with the visiting team who's coming in off the reservation. People are there for the freshman game at 4:30, and you got to tell your family if you want to see it, you got to be there for the freshman game at 4:30, and our game's not till 7:30, or else there's no room in the gym. They love hoops, you know, and then in the spring you're playing in these tournaments, you're playing against, you know, I'm a 16-year-old high school kid playing against 35-year-old, 40-year-old, you know, Navajo men that still love to hoop and run and shoot. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Like, that's crazy. Like, what was that like? What's it like being a teenager going up against a, you know, a grown bleep man, an aggressive guy who loved to hoop?
I had a couple bloody noses and some teeth knocked out. And I think they want to hold their space in life and keep you down for as long as they can. But it was fun. It toughens you up.
Hmm. Before I let you go, you mentioned family. You and I have talked in the past about your background in playing for your dad, Vince. But when you look back, how special were those days of playing with guys like BJ Little, players from so many different backgrounds?
Yeah, it was great. No, I'll forever be grateful for growing up in a small town and having friends like BJ Little, Scott Alexander, all these guys from different backgrounds. And it's a huge part of who I am today. And I appreciate you for even caring or looking it up or knowing. And I don't know that your listeners care, but it was special times.
Now, I appreciate you saying that, Mike, and I appreciate you coming on this show and making time for it and being accessible. Let me finally ask you, you know, I've talked to the San Antonio Spurs players over the years about what it's like to play for Pop. What was it like to work for Pop?
Yeah, it was special. You know, like we talked a little bit about just the care factor, you know, when players know you care about them. And in my case, the staff, as an assistant coach, you know that Pop cares about you. He wants good things for your family and your life. But there's also an intensity. You want to do your job well. You don't want to make a mistake. You know that he values your opinion. He values your work. And it just makes coming to work, you know, good every day. You feel very important and feel like what you're doing makes a difference.
And finally, Mike, was he good about, I mean, if you have a staff and you need a really good staff and it's going to make your life and your job easier, but you want guys that are ambitious, you want guys that want to go out on their own, guys like you, was he good about kind of walking that line about, yeah, I need you here and I appreciate you here, but I'm gonna do whatever I can to help you get your own shot?
Yeah, no, for sure. He was always encouraging, you know, all of us. A lot of us are now coaching in the league, but he wanted you to grow and push the limit and go out on your own and try and do it yourself. And he was always pushing us to grow and to be better. And he never, ever made us feel like we had to stay or held us back in any way. He was very much pushing us and helping us any chance he got.
Milwaukee's got the best record in the NBA. They're tied right now at 18-3. They're at Detroit tonight in his second season with the Bucks, a two-time NBA Coach of the Year. I want to reiterate, Mike, I appreciate the relationship, and I appreciate you making time for this show. Always good to have you on. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you. Take care.
Mike Budenholzer joining us. That's a great conversation. I always look forward to that one. Milwaukee, 18-3. And by the way, he's got four NBA titles with the Spurs as well. And they've got the look now. He's in only his second year. That culture has taken shape and form, and they're playing really well and playing together and hungry every single night. Other big topic this morning has been Ron Rivera getting fired. And this Panther fan tweet, or actually emails, Romy is a Panthers fan. I'm not surprised that Rivera got fired, but I'm not sure he's the problem. I'm sure some blame falls on him, and nobody's going to mistake him for Vince Lombardi, but who the hell are they going to get to replace him? It's not his fault the O-line can't block anybody. It's not his fault the defense can't get a stop on third down. It's not his fault that we have garbage receivers that drop wide open passes. Yeah, the Bengals fired Marvin Lewis for coming up a bit short. How's that working out? Jeff C. in NC. I see it working. I think you make a lot of valid points. The injuries also are not his fault. But again, you've got a new owner who came in 2 years ago, and David Tepper made the point that, yeah, I'm going to come in here, and I've got a business background, and I'm going to change the way we do business, and I'm going to lay out and let the football thing take care of itself. I'm just going to reserve judgment. But he waits and he waits and he waits. And as I mentioned, the long losing streak last year, the losing streak this year, he goes on record as saying, look, I'm not going to tolerate mediocrity. And then they go out and they get their doors blown by the Redskins. Again, I think Rivera is a hell of a coach. He had a really good run there. Won an NFC title, had him in the Super Bowl, won a lot of games. He's going to land on his feet. He'll get another gig. It's not all his fault. But things have gone sideways, and somebody's got to take the fall, and it's going to be the head coach. And if you know you're going to make a move, why string it out? Make it immediately. Get out in front of it. Start your conversations. Hey, look, in terms of the question, who are they going to get? Tepper seems to know exactly what he wants. Maybe not who he wants, but he's carrying himself and saying things like a guy who knows what he wants. So we'll see. I know this. Rivera wants to work again, and he will, sooner than later. Which brings me to Adam Gase. My thoughts on that when we come back. Why he's not using Le'Veon Bell. Why Ryan Tannehill all of a sudden became a legitimate franchise guy maybe as soon as he left. And where that leaves the Jets. A team that somehow lost to the Bengals this year and the Dolphins both. That's coming up. The rare clone-generated content segment. And especially from a guy whose hit rate is like zero. How this guy got on Twitter and created something I can use is beyond me, but he did. That's coming up. Yeah, phone lines are open. Don't wait. Don't wonder. Just do it. Just pick up the phone. Lob me a telephone call. Talk about whatever you want. 1-800-636-8686. Bill's Mafia, like, are you nervous? What are you waiting on? It's Wednesday. You've got the Ravens coming in. This is your chance. My question for you, Mafia, you're a playoff team. We know this. You're going to go. Are you a team that can win once you get there? And you've got a chance to prove something this weekend. All that still ahead, and your phone call is coming up.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Sunday, it's another NFL and CBS doubleheader. First, you've got Baltimore's MVP candidate, Lamar Jackson, taking his show on the road to Buffalo. Followed up by a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game when the Pats welcomed the Chiefs. It all starts with the NFL today at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific on CBS. I will be back for that. And among other things, I've got my assignment. got a showdown in the NFC. Saints, Niners. I'll be talking about that. I will be talking about the NFC East. I want to talk about the job that Mike Tomlin has done this year with the Steelers. All of that and more. I will participate in the opening block with JLC, Jason Lockenfora. So I've got a big weekend coming up in New York. Looking forward to getting back there. New York peeps, how's my weather? I've not checked it yet. I know it's raining here in SoCal. All right, so this is really rare. You know, a lot of times I'll come on the air and I'll say, ask not what I can do for you, but what you can do for the jungle. And inevitably, you do nothing. I'm always trying to say, step your game up. But inevitably, I fall back to more of me and less of you is good for the program. But I haven't given up on you. I'll never give up on you clones. You've got to find a way to dig deep and bring something to it. And sure enough, rare is the day when one of you clone contributors do step up and bring the content. Today is that day. And the concept's actually pretty funny. And this is why I'm constantly hammering you with, come to Twitter, come to Twitter, get on Twitter, hit me up. Because every once in a while I can find a gold nugget. I can find real gold on Twitter. And inevitably, there is some. I just wouldn't expect it from this guy. Wells in the 360. Let's face it, my man is ice cold. In terms of hit rate, he's somewhere between like a meat freezer in Siberia. Ice cold. He just keeps coming, but there's really almost nothing worthy of use.
Ice.
Until last night. Wells tweets out this rather hilarious question. Before I read it, I want to again remind the listening audience, this is not necessarily a family program. This will never be a kid's show. This show is not for kids. Like, I know some of you dads want to share it with your sons. Make sure they're of age. I want to make sure that you know this before I do this segment. This is not a kid's show. Never has been, never will be. If you have kids in the car and you do not want to have to explain exactly what's going on, I would suggest maybe you find something else for just a few minutes and then double back. Just don't tell me I didn't warn you. Not a kid's show. Are we all clear on that? All right? So Wells tweets out the following from last night. Again, I've got nothing to do with this. This is just somebody who listens to the program. Wells tweets, quote, what's a sound drop from the Jim Rome show that can also be said during sex? See, here's the thing about the show. I know a lot of you are running around repeating things you hear on the program. Repeating things I've said, repeating things other people have said, repeating drops, working it into your everyday life and your vernacular. That's the first time I've ever heard somebody pose the question, yeah, but what's a sound drop from the show that can be said during sex? All right, now let me be straight. It's never crossed my mind. Ever. But apparently it did cross the mind of Wells in the 360. And dude did get responses. Lots and lots of responses. Some are actually funny. Some are even usable, which I'll get to in a second. But again, I do find the concept pretty interesting because we've got 3 decades worth of audio on the program. And I found out after going through the comments on this thread that some of it, I guess, maybe could work in the bedroom. Again, the question. What's a sound drop from the Jim Rome show that can also be said during sex? This is not a kids program. You have been warned. Let's go to the replies. Again, the question. What's a sound drop from the Jim Rome show that can be said during sex? And when I say sex, I mean coitus. It's a good word now, coitus. Can you spell that? I know you can't, Hawk. Because you don't have coitus and you didn't graduate high school. Anyway, let's get to it. What's a sound drop from the Jim Rome show that can also be said during sex? Stephen Crowtown leads off with, giddy up, horse face!
Giddy up, horse face! Come on!
How does that work? How does that even fit? Dude, who are you sleeping with? Who do you lie down with? Giddy up, horse face?
Giddy up, horse face! Come on!
Maybe this segment was not a good idea. Wow. Anyway, what's a sound drop from the Jim Rome Show that can also be said during sex? Darren and Kuma is going with the Decca Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah!
Someone's feeling pretty good about them. All right. Better. Pretty happy with yourself, huh, Darren? Darren's not even going to go with, how was that for you? Darren's like, I already know how that was for you. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Your partner is running out of the room, and you're doing a victory lap yourself. Look at me. This segment was not a real good idea, I don't think. Let's try another one. What's a sound drop from the Jim Rome Show that can also be said during sex? Rich in the Lou is in with, boom, out of here.
Boom.
Hey.
Out of here.
Well, that's pretty respectful. And none of that, hey, let's cuddle. Boom, out of here.
Boom.
Hey.
Out of here.
Got things to do, places to be. Boom! Out of here.
Boom.
Hey.
Out of here.
And this guy, Tim Roller, chased that with the tried and true, nah, I'm done.
Now I'm done.
Well, you clones are smooth. Got some smooth raps. Boom, out of here, and now I'm done.
Hey.
Out of here.
Now I'm done.
Again, this is all Wells' fault. Wells in the 360 on Twitter last night, quote, what's a sound drop from the Jim Rome Show that can also be said during sex? Gabe in Van City checks in with, it was good.
It was good.
It was good.
It was good.
How was that? It was good.
It was good.
I don't know, Gabe. But Gabe sounds like a guy who gets it so often that, you know, what do you expect? I mean, it was good.
It was
not
good.
Great. Far from perfect. It was good. I mean, I'll give you a 4 out of 50.
Good.
It was good.
It was good.
Man, I hope this segment ends soon. Wells in the 360 again on Twitter with the question, what's a sound drop from the Jim Rome Show that can also be said during sex? Ray in SA. Keeping it in house with Brad and Corona.
Brad and Corona.
Ray, why would you be screaming another dude's name when you're with your significant other? Not your name, but Brad's name. That'd be confusing.
Brad and Corona.
Jacob in NorCal is in. You want to keep it simple. In response to the question, what's the sound drop from the Jim Rome Show that can also be said during sex? Jacob and NorCal checking in with, uh-oh! Uh-oh! Geoff and Lincoln wanted to play the game. Geoff and Lincoln tweets, war me and my fiance?
War me and my fiance?
You'd say that during sex? This guy's got it. Finally, some respect. What's a sound drop from the Jim Rome Show that can be also said during sex? Dean, no longer in the O, chimes in with a classic. I think what I'm supposed to say is thank you, I'm out.
I think what I'm supposed to say is thank you, I'm out.
Coming towards the end of this thread, Brimsley Covington going simply with, that's two for me.
It's two for me. It's two for me.
Yeah, but who's counting? That's two for you, Brimsley. 2 minutes, brah. 2 seconds. Hey, Brimsley, two for you or... were you struggling?
Struggling.
Some cat named Albie checked in. Albie checked in with, good night now.
Good night now.
Imagine screaming that. I'm sure your partner, whoever it is, really appreciates that. What are you screaming at? Good night now!
Good night now!
Wrapping up a really regrettable segment. I thought it was a good idea when I started, but it's not. But now I'm in too far. Wells tweeted last night, what's a sound drop from the Jim Rome Show that can also be said during sex? Canadian hitman had to play. He comes in with, quote, man's game.
Man's game.
Well, you dudes are all really respectful and respectable and dignified and classy. And I bet y'all get more sex than you even know what to do with. Pete in St. John in the thread with, dude, yes, yes.
Dude, yes, yes.
And finally, in response to the question, what is a sound drop from the Jim Rome Show that can also be said during sex? Violent JC. Just playing the hits with, and I quote, he's the hot dog king of Maine. Come on.
He's the hot dog king of Maine.
Come on. It's probably 50 more that I'm not going to play. And I do have all the drops. They're just not appropriate. If you think many of those were inappropriate, imagine the ones that I cannot play. You know, the Toby drops, the Mark Grace resets, Shaq, doing what Shaq does. The key here is nuance, subtlety, double entendres. It doesn't work if it's straight sex. We're doing subtlety, not porn. Anyway, Wells, they say that even a broken clock is right twice a day. And I've got to say that even an ice cold tweeter gets one right once a decade. Nice work, sort of. If you understand the concept of double meanings, nuance, subtlety, you might get in for a segment like that. Maybe. None of you did. None of the ones I read. And certainly none of the ones that I didn't read. But I want to acknowledge, since I always say, ask not what I can do for you, but what you can do for the jungle. And old Wells did something for the jungle. And it was Twitter generated. You see, this is why I'm saying get on Twitter. I might use something. I might read your tweet. I might retweet your tweet. Or, in the rare case of Wells, I may take your thread and turn it into a segment, which I did. You've got a phone, use it. But use it for the right reason. 1-800-636-8686. You know what I'd love? Not what you clones would say during sex, but what your partner would say. That's the other segment we need. I know the first thing that would come out. That's garbage.
Garbage!
That's garbage, and...
garbage!
You make me want to puke.
Makes me want to puke.
Told you it's not a kid show. All right, safe to turn the radio back on. When we come back, we'll talk some Jets football. Mike Norvell coming up next hour. I've got the Jim Rome podcast. Let's think about this. I can't believe it. 107 episodes of the Jim Rome podcast. And I'd put our guest booking up against anybody's. That's a side hustle. I can see where a lot of people kind of quit that side hustle a few eps in. Not us. 107. Michael Lombardi is my guest later today. Time now for us.
This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You've got plans this weekend, so be prepared with windshield wipers that can handle anything. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades are real-world proven for extreme weather performance. They last two times longer than other blades. New Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades, only available at Walmart. All right, welcome back. At Functional Obese tweets, best segment ever. Thank you, Wells. Again, speaking as the guy who has hosted every segment ever, take my word for it. That was not the best segment ever. If that were the best segment ever, I would have never gotten anywhere near the Radio Hall of Fame. Believe me. Wouldn't have been like, yeah, hey, Jim Rome. Yeah, you can come into the Radio Hall of Fame on the strength of your segments, of what people yell out during sex from your show. You know, that was not the best segment ever. In fact, that might have been one of the worst segments of the month. Redskins 441-6051 tweets, great segment. Are we listening to the same show? Van Smack, thanks for what you do, brother. You've got a lot of fans overseas in the sandboxes. We don't call because we have the self-awareness to know that we probably do not make the show better. But I've actually done the Deca Yeah just after sex. A girl named Christina. I felt like I robbed a bank. Gonna ask her to marry me next year. Thanks again, Jimmy. Signed, Adam. Warwick in Buffalo. Whipping Bradley in the Smack-Off next year. All right, Adam, if you think so. I'm not going to tell you what to do or what not to do, but I can say this. The way you propose is critical for two reasons. Number one, you want an affirmative response, right? If you don't do it the right way, you're not going to get the answer you're looking for. Number two, it always comes back. People always ask when you get together, you go out with couples, you go to a party. It comes up time and time again. Where did you guys get engaged? How did you do it? Think hard for a minute. Think hard before you do it. How are you going to do it? Because one, you need the yes. And two, it's going to come back. People are going to ask you, do you want to be the guy who says, yeah, man, I went with Deca Yeah after sex and I felt like I robbed a bank. And then when I engaged or got engaged, I went with insert regrettable jungle drop. You want yes to be the response, right? I appreciate you, though. And I appreciate, Adam, that you understand that you're one of those people that likes to listen but does not make the show better, so you stay out of it. I always will respect that. All right. Additionally, I do want to talk about Adam Gase, which I will get to in a few moments. We talked about the Lakers, and for all of you coming in to hate, asking who have you beaten, what have you done? They went into Denver, and they did the Nuggets, and they beat them down, crushed them on the glass. That was a statement. The Bald Mamba with the follow-up.
Mamba!
Long live Alex Caruso.
That's kind of just what I do.
That is kind of what he does. Hawk, go ahead, pick up the headphones. What's your deal, man? What's your deal? You look rather sheepish.
Well, I just think this is a great show, great hour, funny segment, and a good phone call on hold.
Yeah, Hawk, where are you going with this? You seem rather disingenuous.
No, I've got a good phone call.
I'm flaming. I'm out. All right, Hawk, I'll take that phone call. I'll take that phone call. Let's see if you're still around next hour. He suggested as the EP that I go to line three. Sitting on line three is none other than Parody Larry. How can Parody Larry make this better? What does Parody Larry have to bring to the proceedings? Old man Ike is sitting back there like, damn, Hawk, now you've done it. Hey, Alvy, what's going on back there? I can't be in two places at one time, Alvy. I can't be on both sides of the glass. You're the adult in the room. Let's find out. We go to Parody Larry. Hey, Lawrence, what's up?
Hey, Jim. How are you, buddy? You know, as far as Wells' question goes, every time I have sex, during it, all I ever hear is, why? Why? And when I'm done, they always say, hit the road, Dak. And
that's not a good car. No.
You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
Okay, that was pretty terrible, even for Larry. When is there a more horrifying concept than clones having sex? And you taking me inside your bedroom to what you say and what you do? To the point where people are calling up and Parody Larry is saying what his partner says and what he says? Parody Larry, engaging in the biblical. We're done with this.
Do-do-do-do.
We're done with this.
Now I'm done.
Boom.
Hey.
Out of here.
Try and unsee that. Never mind unhear that. Unsee that. All right, not a great idea. That thread is done.
Now I'm done.
I can't keep you from doing or tweeting what it is you're doing or tweeting about. If you want to keep that little game off to the side, you go right ahead. We're done with it right here. Larry ruined it for everybody. Larry's saying that his partner says, why? All right, so next hour, Memphis Tigers head football coach Mike Norvell will be joining us. I want to reiterate, the third graders on the other side of the glass think that's just priceless. Hawk, I've never seen you so amused. Man, you're some kind of dope, Hawk, honestly. The people who preceded you never thought stuff like that was funny. That would have never seen the light of day. But I do have to empower those around me. Episode 107 of the Jim Rome Podcast is with Michael Lombardi. Michael Lombardi has had a fascinating career, and he has worked with some of the biggest names ever. Bill Walsh, Bill Belichick, Al Davis. So Michael Lombardi joins me after the program for episode 107 of the Jim Rome Podcast. I'm hyped up on that. We're going to push that out a little bit later on. That is a Wednesday thing. That podcast drops every single Wednesday. It is premium content. It is free. Make sure you are subscribed. If you do that once, then it will find you every single week. You don't need to look for it. Milwaukee Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer came in. I know he does not do a lot of that, so it was great to run him down. And still ahead, next hour, I do want to talk about the Jets and the fact that they've got one of the best running backs in the NFL, but are going out of their way not to use him. What is that? You've got an alleged offensive genius in Crazy Eyes, Adam Gase, but he won't use Le'Veon Bell. Then you've got a guy in Ryan Tannehill who seemingly had one foot out the door, and to coin a phrase, the other foot in the gutter. The replacements, yo. One foot out the door, the other foot in the gutter, and this guy looks like he's basically out of the NFL.
Yo.
And then he shows up with Tennessee, gets an opportunity, and he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league since it happened. Again, does not reflect really well on Gase, does it? So we will get into all of that next hour. Seahawks manning up, playing sick with the flu. And I've got that for you, too. Third hour straight ahead. Phone lines are open. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Thank you for listening. Do not go anywhere. We will come right back.